This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cake says a 23-year-old son and then 18-year-old daughter? She's 17.
She just turned 18.
Right. And then you have Brendan, who's how old?
He's going to turn 16 in June.
Actually, he's 15, right? Yeah. So you totally can relate to this. My kids are 19, 17, and will be 11 this week. Mm-hmm. And I have one of my three kids. I don't know that you have this. You might. One of my three kids is absolutely a thrill seeker, and okay, that's my son, Steven. And it's always every day. I just wonder, what's it going to be today?
Right.
So I go upstairs, and during a commercial break, he tells me he's got shorts on, he's got no shirt on. I could tell he's itching to go. I go, what's going on? He goes, we're going cliff jumping. Oh. I go, cliff jumping?
Ooh.
He goes, yeah, you know, the place where I always go. And he goes, where's that again? It's someplace over in Great Falls. He goes, don't worry, Dad. Lots of people do it.
Okay.
You know, I go, well, is it dangerous? He goes, well, sometimes there's not enough water in there, and you can see the rocks, but then we don't go. And he goes, and then sometimes the current's a little strong.
Yeah.
And then you got to be careful. So, I mean, it's like, this is what it's like to parent a thrill seeker.
Yeah, I think
this is every day. It's always something.
I think while my oldest son was in high school, they would go to like a quarry.
Yeah.
And I think they would jump into the quarry. Like, I don't know if it was a cliff or a hill, what it would be categorized as. But here's how you categorize it. I would never do it in a billion years.
Yeah, it's just dangerous.
Right.
You know, and there are certain days where the current's too strong and they supposedly are wise enough to know not to go in. There are other days where the water's not high enough.
Right.
And supposedly they are smart enough to know not to go in. But I don't know. I'm not there. So cross my fingers.
I mean, I'm such a wimp. Like, there's an indoor swim center near where I live. You know, I can walk there in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have an indoor pool. They have a diving board. I don't even know how high the diving board is. It's probably, I don't know, 12 to 15 feet.
Yeah.
But when you're up there and
your knees buckle, don't
it? It looks like 100 feet. And there are no rocks. There's no current.
Right.
Water couldn't be more still.
30 feet of water. Yeah.
Water couldn't be more. There's so much room for you to fall in.
Right.
And I would never dive off it. I'm almost scared to do like a pencil off
right,
of it,
right.
Straight in with my feet,
right.
Let alone jumping off some sort of cliff with jagged rocks and a current underneath. No, thank you.
Well, I have sent you video. I think I've sent you pictures of video of my daughter. She does that kind of thing. She jumps
right
off high dives.
I know. It's terrifying.
No, it's insane. Not just jumps, dives off them.
Right,
back
right.
dives
yeah,
and front dives and flips.
Wait a minute. She's not doing a pencil? She's not going straight in with her arms by her side.
She's 10.
She's not doing that bit?
No.
Man,
no.
That's crazy.
I know how you feel. I go at the edge of one of those things, and I don't think I'll ever do it again in my life. And my knees buckle.
Yeah.
And it's like 10, 11 feet.
I mean, I'll do it, but I jump off. I don't bounce on it to get more, to get any height on it.
Are you kidding?
I just walk straight off the edge like I'm walking a plank.
I feel like if I did a hurdle off of it, like I jumped off it, that I would launch over the pool and over the lifeguard. Like, there's just this sense that, well, there's no way this pool can contain me.
There's very little movement.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is funny, though. Yeah, best of luck to him. I hope that I hope they don't see the rocks. I hope he's able to jump. Hope Stevie.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. I'm like, dude, you know. Don't hurt yourself. I mean, be careful. Do you break? I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
It's what it is to be a parent of a teenager.
Certainly. Before we got on the air today, I was talking to you about, and I've talked about this during the Junk Show like the last 3 weeks, about my personal lack of endorsements, how tilting it is for like the last 3 weeks, because we get an email before every show from Valdez. It says, here's your endorsements for today when you're doing your spots, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, for the first few weeks we were doing the shows at home, I had a few endorsements from time to time. I was like, okay, I'm going to do a read here and there. Last 3 weeks, nothing. Just, I don't even check for the email anymore because I just know that there's nothing there.
And for people to, I mean, it is kind of a quiet, unbelievable stream of revenue for people in our business.
Absolutely.
Is your endorsements.
Right.
I mean, you just, people probably have no idea how profitable it can be for
all it is your lifeblood. It's just your an additional revenue stream.
That could be really significant.
It certainly can. Yeah. Now, for me, for the last month, it has not been significant. There's been nothing. But I did get a very encouraging text from one Chris Kinerd yesterday.
Did you?
Saying that your boy's being pitched. Now, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but I told you what the product is, and it seems like a home run.
Right.
For me.
No brainer. Yeah.
No brainer.
Right up your alley. It's a product that you use, would use, all of that.
Yeah. So I've got my fingers crossed. I'm showing you on the Zoom that everything goes as planned, and that soon I'm going to open that email that says, Cakes, you have a live read for product X at 7:16 a.m. from our friend Matt Valdez. So I'm hoping that's going to be coming down the pike very shortly. Your boy might have a looming endorsement ready to go.
You know me. I was telling you during or before the show that I get this one website where I check out all their deals, and every hour there are new deals that come out. And it's one of those sites where I just like the other day I just bought a power washer because I saw a deal.
Right.
I'll see like a random laptop or iPad or I don't know. It could be anything. It could be a lawnmower, a bicycle, whatever. And they often have shoes.
Okay.
And you know me, I like to have a lot of sneakers.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know, I have a few pair of Jordans, but I don't really like to spend money on shoes. I like to get discounts.
Right.
So if
like
I see like a nice pair of running shoes for like $30, that's right up my alley.
Right.
And I don't like, there's a Joe's New Balance. It's like an outlet.
Okay.
They always
never
have
heard
deals.
That before.
You've never heard of it?
Joe's New Balance?
Joe's New Balance outlet always has remarkable deals. And you could get, you know, look, I'm not really running in them. I just wear them with shorts and jeans. And
you like to coordinate.
If I'm actually going to run, I use the Hoka One Ones.
Yes, from our friend Chris Farley.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Patience running stores, give them some love.
When I see cheap sneaks, this is how I was raised.
Yeah.
I have to buy. Like, I see a pair of gray New Balance kicks that they're $30.
Right.
Why wouldn't I get those and add them to my fleet?
It's right up your alley. It's
why wouldn't I get
you.
That? Yeah, just walking around, you know, going to the pool, going to the CVS, going to the pharmacy.
Yeah.
Going for a walk.
I did something similar with our guy, Chris Farley. Yesterday, I texted him. I said, look, man, I have a hole in my game right now.
Yeah.
Because I like to wear shoes around my house.
Yeah.
But I don't have a pair of, like, just kicking around the house type of shoes. I either have the Brooks running shoes or, like, I might have a pair of Sperry's that I don't want to really wear that aren't super comfortable that I don't want to wear around the house. So I told him, I said, I need you to go on like a pet project for me. I need you to get me a pair of shoes that's like a slip-on, that's comfy, that fits like your hippie sensibilities, that's going to work for me like around the house.
Because you're like me. You like to wear shoes in your house.
Yes.
I wear shoes or flip-flops. Like I'm currently wearing. I wear these 90% of the time.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call these.
Hold on. Let me see. Let me
Can
pull
you
it
see
up
them?
Here.
These Adidas, what do you call these?
Those are slides, Ricky.
Slides, yeah. I wear these every day, almost all the time inside. And if I go for a walk sometimes, I'll just put.
Now, they look very comfortable, but I'm not a huge slides guy. Now, unless I'm like at a pool. Like if I'm at a pool, I want to wear slides or flip-flops.
Right.
But around the house, I just want something in between, like a running shoe and like a casual shoe. So I think Farley's gonna he's gonna use his vast resources and find something that works.
I like slides because then you could just kick them off when you're on your couch, and then boom, you slide right in. I mean, there's slides.
You like the comfort and the utility of them.
Convenient. If I'm going in the hot tub, courtesy of Offenbacher's,
right?
I bring the slides.
Yes.
Perfect indoor outdoor.
Yeah.
Shoe. It's not really a shoe. What do you call it? Sandal.
Sandal. It's a sandal, flip-flop, hybrid, I guess. I don't know. It's somewhere in that. It's in that family.
Right. So, but I'm not like Lurch, who has a no shoe rule in the house.
Right.
We're walking around barefoot.
No, I can't walk around my house barefoot. What am I, a caveman?
No, that would hurt my feet. We have hardwood everywhere.
Not doing that.
Yeah, who
what
does
am I, that? I'm a barbarian.
Kind of walk monster. With
nothing covering my feet.
Yeah,
that is preposterous.
It tells you how anal he is.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we are going to be joined by our good friend Brett Oliverio from Sup Dogs. He's our friend. He's our former producer. A lot of people that are listening probably know Brett. He's going to join us next from Sup Dogs. Brett Oliverio next here with EB and Cakes from the Jumps.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're very happy now to be joined by our good friend Brett Oliverio. He is the proprietor of Sup Dogs at both ECU and UNC. They've only won the Barstool Best Bar in the Country award back-to-back the last 2 years. That's all. That's all they do. They just rack up titles left and right. What's up, Brett?
What's up, guys? How are you?
Brett, before we get into how business is and everything, you know, I say over the last year or so, I've really come to appreciate Barstool, probably largely because of, you know, Brett and winning the contest and just to watch that company just explode. I think you would agree with me, Brett, possibly, if you're paying any attention, and I know you do. I don't think anyone has taken better advantage of this quarantine than Dave Portnoy. This guy is on TV all day long. The caller daddy publicity he's getting, the publicity with the Goodell bit, the day trading. He's on CNBC multiple times a week. If you watch Fox News occasionally, you'll see him on with Tucker Carlson. I mean, Dave Portnoy is taking over the world.
Yeah, and don't forget, it all started at the beginning of the quarantine with he was doing an unboxing. He gave out his home address, and people would send him stuff. He was like breaking Instagram Live records.
Yeah, he was getting 50, 60,000 people watching him. At one point, I don't know when he stopped, but at one point, I think they had to rent space, and he couldn't even do it from his house anymore.
Right.
The one guy at Barstool Corporate that I deal with for all the best bar stuff, his name is Gaz, and he's one of the founders. And he just says Dave has this weird ability to be able to just whatever's going on pop culture at the moment and just adjust and create content that's perfect for the moment. It sounds cheesy, but like a God-given ability to be able to do that.
No, he really does tap into sort of the everyman. And I find him fascinating. I got to tell you.
And, you know, I don't know if I'm sure Brett has, you know, put this on his social media that after they repeated as Barstool Best Bar and sold all of the t-shirts, and I think it was like $72,000 worth of T-shirts. Dave Portnoy just gave it to Brett to give to his staff and said, here, you know, take care of the people that are, you know, either not
How
working
cool
or barely working during the pandemic. That's a really nice move.
Yeah, I mean, it came at a tough time for us because I didn't know what was going to happen. And they filled over 4,000 T-shirt orders short-staffed during a pandemic and then wired us $72,000 like 2 days later.
Wow.
They're still going to come down here and throw a big party. So, I mean, it's, you know, they kind of get a reputation for being kind of, I don't know, over the top,
They're fun. Come on. They're edgy, but they're fun.
But anytime I've dealt with them, it's like 100% legit, professional, well-run business.
Of course.
And think about it. He's like, what, 40 or so?
Yeah.
And like every 18-year-old like thinks he's the coolest guy ever.
Right.
And that's like when you're 40, I mean, that's tough to do. So.
That's an art. Yeah. That's an art form is what it is.
Yeah, no. I've just been blown away by those guys. Really, really impressed. All right, but how's it going for you? You've been open, what, a week now? Tell us what it's been like. What have been the issues that you've had to deal with?
Yeah, I mean, we started off doing the takeout and delivery thing, which is pretty much a nightmare. I mean, it's impossible for a full-service restaurant to make any money doing takeout and delivery. So then when we opened up, it's 50% capacity and tables spread 6 feet apart, indoor and outdoor. You know, I haven't started seating indoors yet just because, I really want trying to go over the top to make people feel comfortable. So we have a ton of outdoor seating.
Yeah.
But it's tough because this whole thing is more labor for restaurants. So it takes more people to run this and it's less revenue. So it's just a bad combo of more money going out and less money coming in. This is, I think we're going to have a second wave. I think a lot of restaurants have already closed, but then once everyone opens up and realizes, wait, this is incredibly hard and it's nearly impossible to make money, unless restaurants have saved a ton, dude, so many are going to go under. I mean, it's going right. to be
Well, think
crazy.
About it if you didn't have all of this open space that you upgraded the last couple of years, right?
Yeah. And then even now, like our parking lot, I brought in a tent. Yeah. And just put up like a big wedding tent and put like tables under it. And it's like, you know, I'm just kind of doing stuff, putting tables everywhere, serving wherever. I mean, it's a free for all. And until someone tells us to stop, which they won't because, you know, we're just doing our part to not spread the virus, then, just trying to make a buck. So
right.
It's really, really, really hard.
Now, where are you? Because typically this is not a super busy time for you, right? I mean, because the students aren't in session. I mean, I know you always do well, but if there's ever a time that's kind of quiet, I would think this would be it.
Yeah, it is. But then we've gotten a lot of that. I mean, there was people just dying to get out of the house and wanting to spend money and drink and eat a ton. So we're still feeling that rush like a week into it. I mean, I'm at the restaurant now and there's like, every table full, 50 people waiting to get in line, like everyone's drinking. So, you know, another thing is every restaurant you go to has raised their prices, literally all of them. So, I mean, food costs are like the cost of hamburger meat right now has doubled. And by July, it's going to triple. You could tell like going to the grocery store, your steak is going to be three times as much in July. So just be prepared to pay more for food and drinks. I mean, there's just no other way for a restaurant to survive.
Brett, are you hearing positive signals from the surrounding universities for you, ECU in Greenville, and obviously North Carolina in Chapel Hill, about what's going to happen during the fall with students coming back?
Yeah, I mean, they're saying that they're starting the semester early, August 10th, and then ending it at Thanksgiving. But I think it's just kind of a guess. You know what I mean? It's a best guess. I think everyone's sort of hoping as things warm up that things start to go away and we're able to have a semester.
Things are going away. The curve is way down when you look at it. The cases are going up, but that's kind of doesn't matter. It's the deaths and hospitalizations, and those are going down every day, every week.
And I think people are slowly becoming more comfortable. You know, I'm actually shocked how like there's way less panicked people than I thought there would be.
Yeah.
I thought people were going to just be watching every move and worry about every germ, but it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. My question is, how do you socially distance drunk college kids at 2 a.m?
Well, you're not going to be able
running a bar or restaurant. I mean,
you're not going to be able to. Yeah, you're not going to be able to. The good news is, and no one wants to hear it. Apparently, it's like the greatest news ever. That this virus is not as deadly as we thought. It is certainly deadly to the elderly and those that are sick and immunocompromised, and those people have to be protected. But to the general public under 65 that's generally healthy, it's not a big deal. It's a little more dangerous than a rough flu season. So we don't have to go through all of this. I mean, this is, you know, it's okay. We made a mistake here, but we can get back to normal. And we just protect those that are most vulnerable. And I think businesses like yours will be able to survive and thrive again, and we can have a normal life. We don't have to have these bizarre, you know, clear, like you saw that what the Italian guy was doing or whatever at the restaurant where it had like this clear lampshade over everyone at the table. Did you see that, Brett?
I didn't see that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but imagine a plexiglass lampshade, essentially, that every person at the table would have.
Too expensive. And, yeah. Not and buying
then,
that.
Then you would have space for your hands to grab your food and put it in your mouth, but you're not breathing on the person, you know, across the table from you. I mean, we don't have to do that.
I mean, restaurants just got to go above and beyond to make people feel comfortable. So whatever that threshold is to make people feel comfortable, that's what we got to do.
Yeah. Well, I think people are going to feel comfortable being normal real, real soon. Outside, they absolutely are comfortable. Outside, people are comfortable.
But dude, the bar and restaurant, I can't even. I'm way understating what a total, just business killer disaster this is for the bar and restaurant industry. I mean, it's gonna wipe out.
Yeah,
it's already wiped out a ton. I mean, it's literally gonna wipe out everyone.
Yeah,
almost everyone. I mean, it's crazy. Eventually they'll reopen, or eventually other restaurants will take their space. But I mean. It's crazy. I mean, it affects every business, but restaurants.
No, you've been particularly on the front lines of this. There's no question about it. And what about Chapel Hill? Chapel Hill, you don't have nearly the outdoor space.
Yeah, we actually opened Thursday in Chapel Hill. The first two people that walked in to eat were like in their 80s celebrating a birthday. I thought that was kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah, we've sort of gotten creative with our outdoor area. Chapel Hill is a little weird because it's a small town. So the students are gone. Most of the restaurants haven't reopened. We're kind of one of the only restaurants open. There's a ton of homeless people on Franklin Street. So it's a weird, weird vibe across from UNC. But I think if we can hang on, which we will, When the students come back, I think we'll be in good shape, especially if there's a football season.
Right. Has there been any, probably not because the students aren't around really, outcry of all the, but didn't they cut like four sports at ECU, like swimming and diving?
Yeah, there has been. That's been, you know, they're trying to raise money. You know, it reminds me of when HFS went under, it was the same thing. Like people start petitioning, they try to raise money and the sad part is there's no hope. I mean, do you remember? Like, there was just no hope for it to come back.
Yeah. Their minds are already made up.
Right at the beginning, like, right before the virus hit, like, or, you know, when they shut everything down, I texted Ron to see how he was doing, and he literally texted back asking me for $50,000 to put it in the market.
Yeah.
So I told him, and this was, like, right before the market collapsed, I told him to ask Cakes. Did he ask you?
No, he did not. Because, I mean, I've sent him large amounts of money in the past, and I just vowed to get out of that game. But you know what? If we'd listened and put $50,000 in the market 6 weeks ago, oh, we'd be crushing it. Yeah. Our money would be worth so much more.
I was too cash poor. We were talking about it earlier. I was already too leveraged, and then I bought this dumb deck and patio. I didn't have any cash to buy in when everything was so cheap.
Brett, his deck is bigger than the one on Sup Dogs in Greenville. It's amazing.
It looks awesome. You need to have sub crushes out there.
Yeah, you're not kidding. You need to get one of those.
But Shocker, right after he asked me for the $50,000, and I told him that's UK, like literally the next day, where he would have dumped it in the market, it literally collapsed.
Right.
I mean, it's just Ron's instincts.
So Shocker that he would have gotten in at exactly the wrong time.
Well, you know, he got out of all of that, right? Took a big beat and just got out of that, right? I'm sure he's updating you.
By the way, speaking of beats, Brett, I know you're busy, and I know you can't keep up with poker every single day like I can because I don't have a real job.
Right.
Did you see the $375,000 bad beat jackpot that the dude hit? And the site wasn't initially going to pay him.
Yeah, didn't it like lock up that. Like right at the like, yeah, right like when he hit it?
He turned a straight flush. By the way, this is the most online hand of all time. He turns a straight flush against a guy who flopped quad kings and another guy who I believe had like a full, like a nine's full, full house. I mean, this is the most online hand ever. He hits the silly card, queen of diamonds on the turn, and all of a sudden the algorithm freaks out and shuts him out of the site. And he's like, what am I going to do? But he recorded it, and he sent it to a bunch of the poker nerds like Joey Ingram and poker influencers.
And they got
they eventually all got paid.
But Brett, when we did Mediocre Poker, did we have, or when we did our stuff with Galfond's site, when we did Poker Static, did we have Joey Ingram on the show? I feel like we did.
I don't think he came on, but
You met him, right? Didn't you meet him at a tournament and he said that he was a big fan of the show back then?
Actually, maybe he did. I can't remember. I've exchanged messages with him sometimes on Instagram and stuff. Because he's thought about getting into like marketing for restaurants.
Right.
Because he's so good at it with poker. He's like, what other areas could I get into it with?
Right. Do you remember when we interviewed Jungle Man? Now, this is real poker geeky. I apologize to everyone.
It's okay.
Listening.
It's all good,
Do you remember when we interviewed Jungle Man when he was about 17 and he was working at McDonald's and he still lived in Bowie?
Of course. That is crazy. Yeah, I remember that.
Think about that.
Did
you see the scandal, another one?
Yeah. Yeah, he's ghosting like on some app and Bill Perkins is all salty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
All I could think about the whole quarantine is, like, I wish there was, like, the old school Full Tilt or Poker Star.
Oh, it would be unbelievable.
I think about it every day, Brett. Every waking moment of every day.
These kids are so good, though, now, though. There's no room for us. These guys are too good.
Oh, my God. No, zero chance. Hey, Cakes, by the way, you said you don't have a real job. You guys are grinding, doing weekend shows. Cakes is booking his own guests. Like, this is,
can you imagine?
Hey, it's back to our roots, Brett.
This is like going from the 25-50 no limit game down to the 1-2.
You're not kidding. You're not
the
kidding.
The grind is real, Brett. You know this.
The only benefit is working from home. I got to tell you, it's pretty nice to wake up at 5:30 and walk downstairs.
Hey, at this time, we all just sort of have to drop down in stakes and grind it back.
You're
That's
not
right.
kidding.
You're so right on that, Brett. Well, I texted Brett. He's like, are you booking your own guests now? I'm like, yeah, it sucks. It blows.
Right. All right. Well, listen, brother, hit us up. I know you sneak into town all the time and you never tell us, but let us know when you do. We'll have you over by the fire pit.
I would love it. I mean, I'm still listening to the show every day. Show sounds awesome. And, Keep it up. It sort of got me through a lot of the quarantine when we were closed. So,
well, I appreciate it, buddy. And thank you for all the gear. My kids love them. They're wearing all the purple Barstool shirts all the time.
They're all over my house, too.
Yeah. So thank you, buddy.
I love it. All right, guys. Thanks for everything.
All right. Say hi to Jenny for us.
Our listeners, if you're ever down in that part of the country, please support our friend Brett at the Sup Dogs ECU. That's in Greenville, North Carolina, and in Chapel Hill, Sup Dogs
get
UNC.
Get yourself some gear.
Yeah, get
yourself
gear,
some Sup Dogs gear.
Get some Sup Crushes and have yourself a good time. All right, next, we're doing the O&A bit.
Oh, I love it.
Christine Brennan from USA Today is going to join us to talk Lance Armstrong.
She's going to be really good.
She's going to be very good. Coming up
very
next,
good.
Right here on 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. It's EB and Cakes from the Junkies doing weekend duty here on 106.7 The Fan. Just grinding.
Never
more
stop
work
grinding.
More work for less money. It's the American way in 2020 pandemic. We had Christine Brennan on from USA Today earlier in the week on the Junk Show. And we thought this would be the prudent time to replay it. Her thoughts on Lance Armstrong and the doc that's airing on ESPN. So here's Christine Brennan from USA Today.
Could you tell what I thought? Did I make it clear? Did I give my opinion strongly enough?
Yeah, no, I don't know if this is strong when you write, we know Armstrong is the worst of us, a lying, cheating, vindictive scoundrel.
And I really should give my feelings more often and kind of express myself, don't you think? I kind of held back. Yeah, I mean, you have this, right, with topics, right? And you go over and over and over again. And I kind of thought we were done with Lance. I covered him a lot, covered him at the Sydney Olympics down in Australia in 2000. We won the bronze medal in an Olympic event. Of course, this incredible story seemed too good to be true. Of course, it was. you know, overcoming cancer and winning all those Tour de Frances and just becoming the, you know, Mr. America, right? Lance Armstrong, you know, red, white, and blue, all for the country. And then, of course, transcending sports to be a cancer survivor and meaning so much to so many cancer families, survivors, victims, et cetera. And then it all came crashing down. And really the biggest, worst cheater in the history of sports. And I could make a case one of the worst in ever in our culture because he transcended sports and became such an icon in the cancer community, among other places. So, yeah, enough. He needs to go away. There's so many important stories and things we could be uplifted by during this extraordinary and heartbreaking time. And, you can tell. I will not be watching part two on Sunday.
Christine, did you ever have a sit-down, one-on-one sit-down with him?
Never. No. Closest I got was, and that's not unusual for something that I'm not covering every day. You know, obviously when I was covering the Skins back in the 80s, you know, Joe Gibbs, I was with Joe Gibbs every day. You know, I was with Joe Theismann every day in a one-on-one thing or a little scrum with other journalists and TV crews every day. So that's the beat nature of a beat writer, obviously. I probably know this. I'm sure your listeners can figure this. This is probably the case. But in when you drop in, like in an Olympics, and you go to an event one day, you're in the press conference. And then you zip off to another event. I might have been at swimming earlier in the day, then catch Lance, then go back and maybe write a couple of things back then for the Washington Post back in 2000. So never a one-on-one, several press conferences. And I liked him. I mean, who didn't like this story, right? This was extraordinary. And we were all duped. And he did it, and you know, even the way he speaks, it's always third person, like, you know, well, then my life took the turn that it took. Well, no. You decided.
You steered it that way.
Right. Exactly. It wasn't just that darn life took that darn turn. Uh-huh. I mean, still, to this day, you guys, he just, and again, I'm sure there are people out there screaming, wait a minute. Whatever happened to the First Amendment? Of course, ESPN can do this. I've worked with ESPN. I've been in their documentaries, been in their 30 for 30s, even worked on one with them. So they have every right to do whatever they want. I, as a columnist, I just gave my opinion, obviously, on that. The TV ratings were dreadful. So I guess I wasn't alone in feeling that it was really pretty bad.
Here's the thing, Christine. I think most of us kind of had the same general sense. I felt incredibly betrayed by the guy. A lot of the same sentiment that you have. I didn't like how he kind of hid behind cancer. I felt like he used it as a shield, right, throughout his entire career. But I didn't want to watch this, but they said, you know, hey, we're going to interview Christine about it. And so I did watch it. And, I ESPN. They do things very well, right? So they know how to put a documentary together. The one thing I'll say about it, and I don't know where I stand on Lance beyond that. I feel like incredibly betrayed by the guy. But if he is at a point where he is being honest, I am kind of intrigued about how he got to where he did, right? By the decision-making process and by, you know, what it becomes. Now, maybe this is all just the bikers, you know, the cyclists, whatever you call these guys, they're sort of their justification for it. But the way that the documentary sounds and Lance finally appears to be owning up to stuff, right, as he started doping at 21, by everybody that they interviewed, guys that succeeded in the sport and the guys that didn't, it appears to be unanimous that you either doped or did something like that outside the rules or you did not compete at the world's highest level. It was either that simple. Right?
Right.
And so I wonder how I would react in that situation. I don't know. If that was the culture, maybe I would have done the same. And then you get into sort of that A-Rod deal where if you can't admit to it because then you're banned or you know what I mean? Then you just kind of created a pickle for yourself.
Yeah, but it's how he treated the people who accused him of it.
That's true. I can't defend that. There's no doubt about that.
That's right. Yeah, he wanted to destroy people. Yeah.
Yeah.
What you're saying is, I think, what a lot of people feel. I mean, that it is, if it's a culture, and it is, I mean, I get it. But Lance, you know, destroying Betsy, trying to destroy Betsy Andreo, who, of course, is the wife of Frankie Andreo, trying to destroy his masseuse. Anyone who spoke, Floyd Landis,
Right.
It's just despicable behavior. Also, that's if it's true what he's saying on the air.
Right.
Juliette McClure, who's written a fabulous book, Juliette's with the New York Times and is a friend and colleague, and I saw her tweeting about it during the actual airing, the live airing of it on Sunday, and she was, you know, I want to hear more from this person. I'd like to hear more from this person. She was being very, very journalistic, very reporterly, as she is, and wonderfully so, a great journalist. And like, what is this? Isn't even right. And someone was pointing out that he had his dates wrong already, or his years wrong already. I don't think Juliette did, but someone else did. So the bottom line is, I don't even know if that was true. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we're giving 4 hours of television again. ESPN can do it. Of course. They have every right to, and I would defend that right forever. Libby Geist runs the show in the documentary unit. I know her. I'm all for her doing whatever she wants to do. But when you think about all the incredible stories that they could be spending time on, here's one. I would love one, and maybe I should write this. Do one on all the people Lance tried to destroy and what's happened to them. Do one on that includes Travis Tigert, who is the CEO of the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, and he's the sheriff. He's the mm-hmm. good guy. He's John Wayne, who mm-hmm. caught Lance. Mm-hmm. Do that. Put them all together in one. Now, that's not, you know, that's not the bad guy. So that's not the story of redemption, which, of course, to me, that wasn't even a story of redemption, obviously. And I know you weren't saying it was. Mm-hmm. You were saying, take us inside and tell us what
I just
happened.
Want to find out. Yeah, not everything has to be uplifting. Like, I don't mind, you know, I watch something on Al-Qaeda. I'm not pro-Al-Qaeda, but I'm interested in how they got to that spot.
If it's true, if what you're seeing is true, and I am not at all convinced that what Lance was saying even then was true. That's so is then there's minimal learning, you know.
Well, I assume education. The teammates are telling their version of truth, right?
Everyone's telling their version of truth, right? Which is... But again, now I go to, so what's the value in that? And I have no idea who's telling the truth or not, but that's my point about Lance. It's not like this is definitely the truth. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, there have been so many times when Lance, now this. And what's in it for him? And also, I mean, you must admit, and again, we're not arguing. I totally respect your point of view, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You must admit that ESPN, by giving him 4 hours, on television is elevating him into a platform that lots of people who were probably left by the wayside, who didn't cheat, there probably are cyclists we've never even heard of, who told their mom and dad, you know, I can't. Or their parents said, no, And so they are victims also. And Lance is still getting 4 hours of prime time on ESPN. So they have elevated him and given him a platform. Let's make no mistake, in 2020, Lance had a platform on ESPN.
Well, Christine, it seems like one of the themes that they want to explore, particularly with the second episode, just by watching the trailer, is he a bad guy that did a good thing or a good guy that did a bad thing? You seem to believe he's a bad guy.
I think he's a bad guy who did a bad thing. Can I vote for that?
Yes, that's an option, too.
Yes.
That works.
Yeah, yes, 100%. There's no themes on that. Yes. He is a bad guy, and if anyone who's listening to us right now who's got a daughter or a son playing sports or is an athlete, whatever Lance did, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Do the opposite. Yeah.
But all the money raised, you can't put that into the equation. All the money raised, they'll live strong and cancer. Like that's a good thing.
Yeah, but that's like when the mafia, you know, puts on a fireworks show, you know, for Little Italy.
Yeah, but this was a massive scale.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's good. Well, I like that. I'm going to use that one if you don't mind.
But, just credit me. Yeah, thank you.
I'm just picturing the guys with the cigars and the big hats and you know, lighting up the fireworks. And then, you know, they blew off their finger by mistake, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
You do that at home. Yeah, but here's the thing. There were lots of stories written in the day. So, the Oprah thing was 2013, so when he came clean. So this has been 2009, 2010. You know, we're talking 10 years ago or so now, it was uncertain exactly what that charity was doing. It was at one point there was something about cancer awareness. I'm not saying they were stealing money. I'm not saying that. But there was good, solid reporting on exactly what that money was and where it was going. And I believe Sports Illustrated did it. I haven't looked at it in a while, so this is off the top of my head, and I apologize for not having it right there. But as I recall, I believe there were questions about Lance's speaking and who was paying for what, and was the charity paying for some of it. And also, again, you had people who have an IV drip in their arms, getting chemo drip into their veins, reading his book, living and, you know, hanging on his every word. he deceived them all. And yes, I agree. If there's some money that went to some people to help, great. That's nice. But the whole premise of it was just disgusting. And I've certainly heard, since I wrote the column Sunday night, it was published Monday morning in USA Today, I've certainly heard from people, emails to my website and other places where people have said that they were cancer survivors and he hurt them greatly. So, you know, and I've also heard from people who said they still like him, and that's okay. That's okay. That's their opinion. I respect that. But let's hope with those TV ratings, which were dreadful. Michael Vick got higher ratings than Lance, and even the rerun of One of the Last Dances got higher ratings than Lance. Let's hope that now we're done with him. I mean, let's hope that
Well, it does beg the question that whose redemption story are you interested in then? Not that this one particularly is, but are there redemption stories that you are into, Christine? I'm just curious.
Yeah, sure. Great question. And one that comes right to the top of my head is Ray Rice.
Okay.
I would watch anything on Ray Rice. Now, I have interviewed Ray, and that was September 2014 when that awful video came out of the elevator punching that his then-fiancée, Janae Palmer, now his wife. They have, I believe, two kids, young kids, and she married him. And what I heard a year and a half later maybe when I interviewed him, what Ray Rice understood, unlike Lance Armstrong, very different, obviously, storylines, but what Ray Rice told me that day was he was spending so much time going to high schools and colleges and other meetings with men, young men, older men, and telling his story and saying, don't be like me. And I said, what are you going to do when the kids get a little older and they can go online and, you know, check out Wikipedia and Google you? And he said, I'm going to get to them first and talk to them, and I'm going to say, Daddy did the worst thing you could possibly do to Mommy. And I said, as I listened, and this column is, I'm sure you could just Google Ray Rice and me and find it. It was 3 years ago now, maybe. And so maybe 4 years. It was a little bit afterwards, where I thought, you know what? It would be so valuable if this man were back in a uniform. Because what he has taken and done with this awful moment and what he decided, his terrible decision-making, terrible physical abuse of his then-fiancé, what he has done and turned that into such a positive. Oh, if you put a uniform on him, if he's in a Ravens uniform, now it exponentially grows in terms of the importance of his every word he says. He got it. That Greg Hardy, who wasn't videotaped, but it seemed to be much worse, got another year in the NFL, right, before finally going to pro wrestling or whatever he did. Some of these clowns have just continued on. Ray Rice had his career stopped. Obviously, it was on the downward end as a running back approaching 30. It wasn't going to be that he was going to have another 10 years in the league. But wow. As I understand it, he's still doing that. I'd do that. And, you know, Michael Vick, which I guess there was the Michael Vick one. Again, people who turn it around, who completely and totally admit they did it. Mm-hmm. Lance, in that 2013 Oprah interview, said, yeah, you know, it was really bad what happened to Betsy Andreu. Again, like this third person out of body. No, Lance, it's really bad what you did to Betsy Andreu. Do you see? This is the guy who's still doing this on Sunday night. He hasn't learned. Ray Rice has learned. So give me people who are interesting and who have learned and are going to try to help society and be doing something for the betterment of their fellow humankind.
Christine, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Good opinion. My pleasure.
Thank
you. Okay, great to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Thanks again to Christine Brennan for joining the Junks earlier in the week. We do appreciate her time. EB, it's been a fun one over the weekend. This is our first pairing, probably not the last.
Well, I'll tell you what, if we do it again, we're coming out with T-shirts.
Coming out with T-shirts and probably more recorded material.
That might be the plan going forward.
So we'll see you on the Junks on Monday. It's EB and Cakes. We're out of here. This is 106.7 The Fan.
Boop.
Boop.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.